Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. A new book is out, Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox, about, of course, Hillary Clinton. Focusing on the concept that everyone seems to have an opinion about Hillary, the book has a number of authors writing commentary. It's compiled by Joanne Bamberger. And Helen Johnson is one of the contributors. She's a journalist and writer and owner of HJ Media. She wrote a chapter on being a neighbor of Hillary and Bill's in Chappaqua. Helen, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Valerie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I am dying to know how you got involved with this project, because there's just a few people that are on the list. How did you get involved?
Well, I think if you look at my resume, I had been editor of WorkingMother.com, as well as been at Forbes for a number of years as head of video media at Forbes as a senior editor. I met Joanne Bamberger during those years. She is a reasonably well-known pundit, if you will, a social media maven who is a journalist working out of Washington. And through that, as she was conceptualizing this idea of putting together all of the varied thoughts and ideas and comments from women bloggers, women writers about Hillary Clinton, she mentioned the project to me and then put together the two and two that actually we have this odd crossover history with the Clintons by becoming their neighbors, or they became our neighbors, all in the same year. So it was kind of a fun way of looking at how people see Hillary Clinton. That's what the paradox is all about, right? There's this whole love her not. Do we like her for who she is? Is she a strong enough person to run the country? Or is she Bill's wife and the good wife, you know, the hurt wife, the victim of his presidency? So in having all of that conversation, I said, you know, we've had this interesting chance to see Hillary and Bill and Hillary as a couple in the community the way other people in other parts of the country never do.
And so you've run into Hillary a few times here and there at the coffee shop and the voting. Tell me the story that you wrote briefly about your little contribution to this book. Tell me about how you ran into her and what it was all about.
Well, you do. You see them periodically throughout town for many years. From the very beginning of being here, Hillary had asked to be part of the Memorial Day parade in town. And that's a big deal for our little town. It's a classic Americana day. And in the beginning, she worked with the Girl Scouts. She walked for a year on the parade route as she was running for senator with Girl Scouts hand in hand. The next year, she was senator and was invited to lead the parade. Every year since then, Hillary Clinton has walked on Memorial Day in the parade. And she has joked that she actually took phone calls while she was Secretary of State on the parade route, because she's told her staff one way or another, I will be there. So in that, being active with Girl Scouts, I have three daughters in town, I would help arrange photographs with the kids with Hillary at the end, with the honor guard, with the girls doing the wreath laying. That would happen annually. And then on other occasions, we just do run into each other. And that's where I start the essay of going to my polling place in the middle of the morning to cast a vote. It was the governor's race here in New York at the time. And I'm standing there looking for my name, getting ready to sign, and I hear very familiar voices right next to me. And I turn, and there is President Clinton and Hillary Clinton also registering to vote. And we're just about to go to the kiosk together. We exchange a pleasantry for those moments where the volunteer is finding your name and going through the same process together. It's kind of interesting to be voting with the man who once was the president of the United States.
Absolutely.
So as we turned around, other people realized it was them, and they had a new granddaughter at that point. So people asked a few questions, but were polite. And once we finished voting, we went outside. They came out slightly after me, and we had a conversation about some of the people we knew, about them living in town, about voting here and what maybe the next year's vote would bring, about Andrew Cuomo running for governor again. It was an interesting conversation. And again, nothing about politics, nothing about beyond the governorship, just people in the neighborhood. And they made a point to say how much they like that, how much they like to be here for that reason.
So in your experience, Helen Johnson, do you find Hillary approachable?
I do. And that's what's interesting. I think from, as a journalist, watching her on screen or at events, early on, people found that she was not. There was that question of likability. But I think as a woman in business and as a woman in leadership, you can, from my perspective, you can see where that always cuts both ways, right? If you're strong and you're leaderly, you're not friendly, you're not warm. If you're friendly and warm, you're a wimp and you shouldn't be a leader. There's been a lot written on those concepts, that whole idea of women in leadership, of strength versus likability. And that's something the book really, really tackles. A lot of the articles, especially Joanne Bamberger's own article in the book, talks about the likability factor. People don't have to like Trump, but yet they'll vote for him. People don't have to like a man, but they'll vote for him. Women tend to fall into this trap where if you don't want to have coffee with them, you're not going to vote for them. And there's a lot of research that backs that up, and I think that's been a real cutting knife for Hillary Clinton in any of the positions she's held.
So, at the end of the day, when people read this book, do you think that they will get a completely different viewpoint of a woman that they only see on television and in interviews?
I think we so often read what we read, right? So, or watch what we watch. So, if you're a Fox watcher, you're getting a different view of Hillary. If you're a New York Times reader, you're getting another view. If you watch only MSNBC, you're getting another view. What we hoped in this book, with 24 authors of all different ages, of different perspectives, many saying we are the comma in the middle of the love her not. Others who were definitely against Hillary for many, many reasons. If you go through this and read a variety of the chapters, it'll be as if you've been checking out media all over the country and every blog all over the country. You'll get a much more rounded view of the opinions about Hillary Clinton that are seen here in this country right now.
The book is Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. It's compiled by Joanne Bamberger. Helen Johnson, one of the contributors, who wrote a nice little story about being a neighbor of the Clintons and Hillary in Chappaqua. Tell me about some of the other authors involved with the project.
Well, yes, there are so many. One in particular who a lot of folks might know is Nancy Giles. Nancy Giles is a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning. She's a humorist and an author. And she writes a chapter called FLOTUS, SCOTUS, POTUS, SCHMOTUS.
That's so Nancy Giles.
So Nancy Giles, and she wonderfully just talks about that whole, how do you sum up the person who is Hillary Clinton? How do you really sum her up? She's been so many things and has been a part of the American dynamic for over 25 years, with so much to offer and yet so much to criticize. And Nancy does it in a way that only she can. Couple of the others is a very young woman writer who wrote a page, a chapter called A Crone of My Own. And you think, what does that mean? Well, she takes you on the story of the Gen X feminist experience, basing it on the archetype of the crone. And the crone through history was the wise woman, not the beautiful woman, not the queen necessarily, but the wise woman. And she takes you through how millennials can see Hillary in a different light. And she calls her a crone of my own. So I love that chapter. I think that really brings out an interesting look from a minority point of view and a millennial point of view.
Some very interesting authors have contributed to this project. Helen, any predictions for November that you care to share?
Oh, I hate to predict, Valerie. As a journalist, you like to be on the rails about all of these things. I think it's been a fascinating race. I think Hillary has had an issue with the millennial and Gen X crowd. Maybe it is the crone of my own, not enough absorbing that idea. Too many seeing her perhaps as the other generation. I mean, think about it. We now have the front runners are all older baby boomers in this race. And yet we have a president who is post baby boom. So how did that happen? How did that transition happen? Where is the next generation, the strength? You have it in the lower ranks in the Republican race, but not in this what has become this top three people that everybody's talking about their names, Bernie, Hillary, Trump. I think it's also interesting that we call him Trump and not Donald, and we call them Bernie and Hillary. I don't know how to go there. So no, I would be remiss to make a prediction right now because I'd hate to be wrong.
Well said, as a journalist, by the way. I have to say that in the last moment that we have, Helen, just quickly, what else is next for you after this wonderful project that you've been involved with? What's next?
I have been very excited to be working with across the board in media, doing a lot of different things. I'm working in local television as an executive producer, as well as with a number of media clients who need to learn to communicate a little bit better. I think we can all do that, as you well know. We don't all communicate as well as we should in public life, and I think that's a really important place for me to be right now.
Fantastic. It's journalist, author, media consultant Helen Johnson, contributor to the book Love Her, Love Her Not, The Hillary Paradox. Thanks so much, Helen. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Valerie.
It's America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone, and this is the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Would you like an easy way to improve your child's penmanship? Well, you know, maybe it's time you introduced your child to a fountain pen. Here's the developmental science of it. I've had a love of fountain pens my entire life. In fact, I've been using a fountain pen since the fourth grade. Assuming your child is old enough, usually about age 10, a fountain pen is a great way to help your child master cursive writing. You see, shaping words by hand, learning how to express oneself, and if you do it early enough with a fountain pen, writing almost becomes, well, art. What's the cheap psychological trick? In this day and age of email and instant messaging, a gift of a fountain pen gives your child something unique, improves their handwriting, and separates them from the masses. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Linda has full custody of the children, but their father, Mike, gets them for 6 weeks every summer. Recently, Linda moved out of state, so now summer vacation with Dad involves expensive airline tickets. Since Mike is unemployed and Linda is not, they disagree on who will buy the tickets. What did the judge decide? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
The judge decided that Linda will pay for the children's airline tickets because she's in a better position to do so. If finances change down the road, conditions can be altered. And that's the final verdict.